May the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Well, this is one of my favorite days of the year, Ash Wednesday, and my favorite season, this and Advent probably, well, and Easter, and then ordinary time, I like them all. But I love Lent because it's a time of stretching, it's a time of extravagant seeking. It's as if, and I remember over the, there were years ago, many years ago, I thought Lent was a really carnal thing. Because it seemed like people were saying they gave up certain things during Lent, but they just were okay with it the rest of the year. Liv used to tell me of some friend that she and Amelia knew who for Lent every year gave up cussing. And I thought, well, that really wasn't. I don't think that's what Lent's all about. Lent's about doing something extra, not about doing something you should have been doing all year long. And so when you fast, you pay an extra price in your pursuit. You give up something as an expression of love and desire and hunger, spiritual hunger and thirst. And so, like if you go to a conference, it costs you something. It costs you time. It costs you money. And it's an extravagant expression of seeking for the more, or the more of the all that's ours in Christ. That's what Lent is. It's a reminder to us, like it's like a 6 weeks conference or a 6 week retreat. So it's also a time where you discover mercy a lot more. You discover God's grace a lot more because you're asking the Holy Spirit to show you anything in your heart that hinders you from loving Him with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. That's why I love it, because it's so extravagant. It's excessive, and it should be. His love for us was so excessive. When Mary of Bethany anointed his feet, anointed his head, the third time she anointed him, broke the alabaster vial. And for the second time, not just Judas, but all the disciples said, why this waste? This could have been sold and given to the poor. And Jesus said in that conversation, what this woman has done every time the gospel's preached, what she has done to me will be spoken of. And yet I rarely hear that, or the principles of that truth of what she did spoken of when the gospel is shared. But the reason Jesus wanted that to be shared is because when they said, why this waste? Waste is what Jesus has called us to. The gospel should provoke us to want to waste our life on Him, to live excessively for Him, not just to shuffle our way to heaven one day and live a halfway life settling for. We should never settle. Christ refused to settle. God refused to settle without us. The word Lent means to lengthen. It's a word that literally means lengthen. And Lent is a season where God lengthens us and prepares us for a new and fresh encounter with the risen life of Christ who lives in us. This is a place in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, and in the Song of Solomon, chapter 5, Jesus has just finished just congratulating her in chapter 4, this Shulamite who's decided to live a life wasted on Jesus, who wants to go as far as possible, who voluntarily wants to pay whatever price to experience, to press in, as opposed to just being settled. And he praises her and affirms her in the journey, this believer. And then he says in verse 1 of chapter 5, I've come into my garden, speaking of the bride, my sister, my bride. I've gathered my myrrh along with the balsam. I've eaten my honeycomb and the honey, and I have drunk my wine and my milk. Eat, friends, drink and imbibe deeply, oh, lovers of me. And what he was saying is, for other people, drink from where she's at. Drink from her walk. Drink from her excessive adventure and journey. Now, the journey's not done, but he was just affirming how far she had come in this pursuit to experience fully her union with Christ, to experience fully everything that Jesus is and everything that Jesus has. And so in the midst of that, it's not like this believer's in a bad place. this believer, this Shulamite's in a good place. But sometimes, even in a good place, we want to hit the pause button. We get distracted. It's not that we want to stop. We just want to pause. We just don't want to be quite so radical. We kind of, this is verse 2. Her heart for him was still beating, still longing, but she had kind of hit the pause button in the pursuit, in the excessive lifestyle that his love calls us to. I was asleep, but my heart was awake, and I heard a voice, and it was my beloved, Jesus. And he was speaking, and he came to me and said, "Awaken, my sister and my love, my dove and my perfect one." And her response was, he said, "And my head is drenched with dew, and my locks with the damp of the night." And the response of the Shulamite was, "But I've taken off my dress. How can I put it on again? I've washed my feet. How can I dirty them again? My beloved extended, and my hand ready to walk the way across me. My fingers with liquid myrrh on the handles of the boat, and I opened to my beloved, but my beloved had turned away and passed over, and my heart went out for him as he spoke. I searched for him, but did not yet find him." This is amazing scripture to me because, again, here's a person who he even says, my perfect one. She wasn't perfect in her relationship, but that's how he saw her. It's so important that we get rid of our mythical understanding of God, that he's primarily a judge. No, he's primarily the lover of my soul. Determined to bless me. That's who he is. And here's this believer who's been doing really well, but there's just this moment, there's just this time, and her heart's awake. Her heart is still awake for him, but when he said, we're going to go even farther up and farther in, come with me. He says that a lot in the Song of Solomon, come away with me. And it's always up. But she said, I've taken off my dress. I don't know if I want to do more. I don't want to be, I've kind of retired a little bit, or just a little brief retirement. I hear Christians say all the time, like, well, I did that. I put my stuff in and I'm kind of retired. I'm going, really? Don't you hope that Jesus doesn't retire on you? I don't think that's the adequate response. She said, how did I put my shoes? How do I get my feet dirty again? And so she finally stirred up. He puts his hand through this opening near the doorknob, and she stirred up and she gets up and she goes, and then he's gone. But the language in Hebrew is that he's turned and gone, passing over and speaking to her as he does. And she gets up and looks for him. See, I don't think he was running away from her. He was running for her. He was running towards the place he had wanted to call her to, this new place, a deeper place, a more excessive place in him. And he was calling to her. He was still speaking, and she pursued. That's Lent. That's Lent. Jesus putting his hand, touching us, and going, okay, there's more. You want to experience the more? So do I. I want to experience the more of you. So let's go again. He just had done that in chapter 2. Now he's doing it again because he's always doing that. You've never arrived. You're always moving. You're always journeying. And Lent is God coming to us who he knows have a heart for him and who he loves us. He calls us his dove, his perfect one. He affirms us and he invites us to the more. And he stirs us up through the glorious wonder, the gift of repentance, of discovery, of him exposing and stirring us up again so that we get up and follow. And then he's running towards this place and saying, I'm crossing over into where I want you to cross over. It's a word of breakthrough. Follow me into the breakthrough. That's Lent. Lent is for those who have a heart for him, but are taking a nap a little bit. And Jesus reminding us that there's no napping in our walk with him. For those of us who have a heart for him, he reminds us of the gospel during Lent and the life of wasting on him that he's called us to. He reminds us in Lent there's no retirement. There's always the pursuit. It's always the apprehending, that for which I've been apprehending. There's always the upward call, pressing on towards the prize of the upward call of God in Christ. The upward call to experience all there's possibly, you're possibly able to experience in Christ. That's the prize. In Lent, he reminds us of the prize, that we're in Christ, and we can experience all of him. And he says, it's time to get up, move forward. Early on in the Song of Solomon, she says, take me away with you to where you want me to be, where you, the place you've provided for me, John 14. It's not a mansion in heaven. It's an in Christ experience. Take me away with you. And then she goes, let us run. And he's just reminding her of her heart and that you can't take a nap. And he's running, just like she had prayed, running towards the next breakthrough, calling her to come. That's Lent. That's why I love it. So whatever your vision of what Lent was, it's the most exciting. If you have a heart, if your heart is awake, it's the most exciting season in the year. It's a season of running after him, which is what we said all along was our heart, right? Lord, take me away with you. Let us run. That's what Lent is a reminder of. Not to meander there, but to run with him. Those of you who today, if you choose as you receive Eucharist, we'll do the imposition of ashes. Every time I do Lent, I'm always reminded of Livia. I used to get her words mixed up really bad. And one Ash Wednesday, she was telling somebody on the phone that, oh yeah, this is Lent, we're going to do the imposition of asses. And I said, Livia, it's not asses, it's ashes. And so I didn't know if she meant that metaphorically about the people or it was a geographical statement, but either one of them weren't true. This is the imposition of ashes. And so if you want that, if you don't have to, then I will be there after you receive Eucharist to give you the imposition of ashes. But I would encourage you, if you're able, if you've never been to a full Lenten Ash Wednesday service, come back tonight at 6, because the whole liturgy is about that, and it's just a lot of fun. Okay? In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.